Blog Talk Radio.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your world.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Addiction, debt, divorce, abuse, fear, guilt, heartbreak, illness, loneliness, loss of a loved one, rejection. All of these circumstances cast shadows across the paths of our lives. On this show, you will hear stories and testimonies of people just like us who have followed God's guidance out of the gloom of those dark places. Welcome to Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thanks for joining me for this 16th episode right here on Blog Talk Radio on the 29th day of December 2015. If we have listeners who have come into the show and can't stay, I would like to let you know where you can find it again. My website is Patty Sheen, and I'll spell that for you, PattiSheene.com. You will find a link to this show right on the very first page of that website. You'll also find a Blog Talk Radio tab where there is a Show of the Week page, and that page will feature this show for the entire week. After that, there's an archive shows page under the Blog Talk Radio tab, and all of the shows that we have aired will be available there with a link. So if you can't stay with us, we'd love to have you come back. I'd also like to have you find me on Facebook. I have a page entitled Step Into the Light, and I'd love to have you like that page for me. And you can always join me on Twitter at Patty Sheen, PattiSheene. Can you believe today is already the 29th of December? There's 2 days left in the year 2015. So this morning I did a little bit of research on New Year's resolutions. It's something that is always on the mind of folks as we turn the calendar to a new year. So there was a survey, study, whatever, that was done. And according to this particular study, in 2016, 45.7% of the people surveyed intend to enjoy life to the fullest next year. 41.1% are looking to live a healthier lifestyle. 39.6% hope to lose weight. 33.2% would like to spend more time with family and friends. 30.1% would like to spend less and save money. And 27.5% would like to pay down debt. But I also did a little bit further research, and I checked to see what some of the best resolutions are for us as Christians, and I came up with quite a few. Stay faithful to Jesus Christ. He's the one truth, way, and life. There's no reason to look elsewhere. Don't let anything, a career, a significant other, social media, a house, become an object of worship. Watch your language and don't speak destructive talk, especially involving the name of God. Resolve to prevent burnout by putting aside work one day a week. Trust God to provide for your needs that day and just enjoy the time He's given you. Talk to your parents on a regular basis and show them love and respect. Be angry less. Channel feelings of rage, which Jesus said are as severe as murder, into worshiping God and serving others. Honor your commitment to your spouse, whether in thought or in deed. Stay pure and loyal in the union God made. Resolve to not take anything that's not yours, including stuff you can hold and put in your pocket and plenty that you can't, such as music downloads, movie streams, and hours on your time card. Speak about others only with truth and love, not gossip. Resolve to be content with what you have and not to worry about what others are amassing. And if these sound familiar, great. Share these New Year's resolutions to encourage people to live a life that honors God. Well, this morning I am so pleased to introduce our guest. Paula Moldenhauer have known each other for a while. We haven't talked for quite a while, so I'm thrilled that she's able to come to the show. Today, Paula is an author, a speaker, and the mom of four. She encourages others to be released into full potential through freedom in Christ and the empowerment of God's grace. She's published over 300 times in nonfiction markets, and her devotional book series, Soul Sense, releases in four volumes, beginning with Soul Sense Awaken, which is currently available. Her first two novels released in 2012. Sometimes Empty Nesters, they have young people in college. Paula and her husband Jerry enjoy their four adult children and a wonderful son-in-law. Paula loves peppermint ice cream, walking barefoot, boy, I'm with you there, Paula, and talking to her flowers. And we'll mention Paula's website here in a while. Paula, it's such a delight to have you on the show this morning. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Well, Paula, you grew up with a general understanding of Jesus, as many young children do, as God's son. But there was a lot of strife between your parents and in your home. How did your knowledge of Jesus help you through the tense times as a child?
You know, I have to give my parents credit for always pointing me back to the Lord. And in the midst of their struggles, they still had faith and they shared that faith with me. I remember from a very young age taking my Raggedy Ann doll and my Bible and my pillow and hiding in the bathroom or a back room wherever I could kind of get away from the chaos that I was hearing and just hanging on to praying. And at a very young age, I remember finding Romans 8:28 that said, you know, that he does good. He works out everything for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I thought, well, I love Jesus and I know that he has a plan for my life because my parents had taught me that he had a plan for my life. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be okay. And that began my journey of learning how to just kind of climb up onto my father's lap and talk to him about the things that troubled me.
So that's wonderful that you were actually able to talk about your faith with your family then.
Yes.
It wasn't something that you kind of had to sneak off and hide, and they shared that with you.
They're both believers.
That's not uncommon that even though we live in a Christian home, there's still going to be strife and there's going to be disagreements and there's going to be problems. And Jesus told us that was going to happen. Well, Paula, you've spoken about family secrets, portraying yourself as the perfect little Christian girl and hiding the turmoil that sometimes existed in your home. What advice would you give if there's a young person out there listening today that's facing similar circumstances?
You know, I think as Christians, even though Christ's blood has covered us and we're completely forgiven and he's changing us from the inside out, we still have a tendency to let shame hold us back and shame put us down and shame keep us silent when we need to speak. And unfortunately, that happens in a lot of homes, even Christian homes. It's happened with kids that I've taught, so I know I wasn't alone in this, but there's often pressure to the outside. You portray that we're the, you know, perfect little Christian family, and so you can't talk about any of your problems or any of your needs, and that's very destructive for a child. So I would encourage, and for adults too, I would encourage women, children, men, anyone who's going through these kinds of things to find safe places where they can get an outside perspective on what they're doing and I think sometimes we feel that we're being disloyal to parents or spouses or children when we're in deep conflict in our home, but we need places that are safe that we can talk about it and hear a different perspective, especially someone who can point us back to the Lord and to His truth.
I had a very dear friend from childhood who was a pastor, actually, for years and years. She's since passed away. But as time went by, of course, we were separated. She lived in one part of the country. I lived in another. And we actually didn't come back into contact with each other until the internet came in and we found each other. And we kept in touch through phone calls and so such. And she came out here to actually visit, and I got to see her for a few hours. And I was always under the impression from my conversations with her that she lived the perfect Christian life. I mean, here she was, a pastor. And when we actually got to talking, she shared with me some very serious turmoil in her life and her marriage. And I was really pretty surprised, because you view certain people in whatever profession they have chosen or whatever they're doing for the Lord, you think, oh, they must have this absolutely wonderful life. They're just always in touch with God and everything goes so well for them. And that's not always the case. So thank you for sharing your experiences, Paula. Well, perfectionism seems like such a noble aspiration. We all want to do our very best for God, especially when seeking to accomplish great things for Him and we're so sure that we're following the path that He wants us to follow. But you discovered that there's a sinful side to that. Would you tell us what you learned about that?
You know, I believe that perfectionism can be extremely destructive. I put a lot of pressure on myself, especially as a young mom. I wanted to do everything perfectly. I had made vows to myself, even in childhood, about how I was going to mother my children. And God, in His wisdom, gave me 4 children in 6 years. And so you know where that goes with perfectionism.
Oh, yeah.
I remember one time sitting in my recliner, and I'd been studying Ephesians, and I was beginning to understand more about God's grace. I understood a whole lot about God being powerful and that He had expectations for me as far as behavior, but I took that on myself instead of being empowered by His grace and living in the freedom He was offering me. I didn't understand that. I was just beginning to understand it. And I was reading in Ephesians, you know, and the first several chapters are so amazing because they talk about how God knew us even before He created the world. And He had a plan for our life, and He empowers us to do these wonderful things immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And then I came to the next chapter after that wonderful verse that I just quoted loosely, and it talked about being completely patient and gentle and humble. And that word completely in the version that I was reading at the time upset me. And to be honest with you, I think I threw my Bible across the room. And I said, Lord, I can't be completely anything, especially patient with these 4 little kids. You know, for 5 minutes or 15 minutes, much less always. How dare you set standards for me that I can't live up to, because I lived in a constant state of feeling like a failure. And the Lord just whispered to my heart, and He said, Paula, all your life you've tried to be good. Just get to know Me, and I'll make you good. And that was a real paradigm shift for me.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly the Christian life was not about my performance, not about my list of do good, my perfectionist tendencies to, oh, I can never do anything wrong and yell at my children or anything. Or it changed from all of that pressure to one simple goal, just get to know Jesus. And that is quite a paradigm shift.
Yes. I can relate. I can remember when, and I didn't have 4 kids. I only had 2. And I can remember when my daughter was, I don't think I even had my son yet. And I had a rocking chair. I had been given a rocking chair for a gift, and I just loved it. And I loved to rock and feed the baby, you know. I was trying to get her to eat, and she didn't want to eat, and she was fussy, and she was crying, and I wanted to get to town to, I guess, probably buy some groceries before my husband got home from work. Like you, I just kind of went into this fit. It's like, oh, thanks a lot, God. You can't make this kid eat. I've got to get her fed before I can take her anywhere. And I think I did something stupid like threw the bottle, which did not work out well.
No, it never does.
You know, right, you know how the pieces go flying and the formula goes flying out. Yeah, I have vague memories of that being really bad. And like I say, I only had two.
Well, and I suspect you and I aren't the only ones who have multiple stories of things like that.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But there are times when you're thinking, you know, come on, Lord, give me a break here. And actually,
right.
When you think about all of the things, have you ever had something go wrong and like, well, this is the most horrible day? And then when you look back, you realize, wait a minute, nothing else really has gone wrong today. It's just that you let that one incident balloon into the most horrible day ever. And in the end, it's not all that bad, really. Paul, you
it's
had...
very... No, go ahead. I was just thinking about what you
go
said
ahead.
And,
no,
and
go
how
ahead.
True that it is. Well, it's so easy to think about the hard parts, the negative parts, and let that just become like the cloud over us, like Linus in the cartoons, and miss all of the beauty that God has created for us to enjoy every moment. And I know you had another place to go next, but I'll just mention, I did go through... a season where I actually took the challenge after reading 1,000 gifts to try to write down 1,000 things in a year that I was grateful for. And I actually, downstairs near our children's rooms, the hallway and the living room needed to be painted. And so I asked my children's permission, actually I cajoled them until they finally gave in, to take Sharpies and write on the walls, because I so needed to refocus my mind that I wanted it very visible. And so I was writing in Sharpies on my hallways the things that were beautiful in my life. And it was amazing how I started to notice the little things and how much God created for us to bring us joy and to help us focus on what is good and lovely and pure, and everything from, you know, the belly laugh of my son if he got really tickled over something, or a home run that I watched him hit, to the taste
yes.
of raspberries or dark chocolate, or God's provision for my daughter's wedding. That was during this time period too, and I was so concerned that we would be able to give her the wedding of her dreams, and the Lord surrounded us with blessings and people who came and shared their gifts and talents, and my daughter worked very hard to make a lot of the things herself, and her wedding was beautiful. But writing those down really did sort of change my perspective, and I still have a tendency, you know, to let that black cloud come over, and it's a good reminder to go back and, okay, what are the gifts in this day? The simple gifts. We look for the big, huge things. What are the simple
yes.
gifts of this day?
And that's a wonderful resolution to take into the new year, Paula, is to write down all of the things that we are grateful for. And I think we'll find there's so much more than what we're aware of on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
You have pretty much talked about the turning point that made you realize the Savior did not expect you to live in perfectionism. He wanted you to live in joy and freedom. What did you feel was keeping you from that freedom, or what did he tell you was keeping you from that freedom?
I really think a lot of that mindset of striving to do well, not just performing well in career or taking care of my home, but I had a lot of pressure I put upon myself to be perfect in relationships, to mother perfectly, to be the perfect wife, to be perfect in relationships. And what he started showing me is, not only was I completely forgiven, not only, you know, you hear God is love from the time you're a child, but to me that, okay, he always loved me, but there was something conditional in his acceptance of me, the good and the bad. I wasn't able to truly understand that I was unconditionally accepted and loved. And the pressure I put on myself left me living kind of in a perpetual state of feeling like a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And what he began to show me was so much of the things I was putting on myself, I was putting on myself. They were actually never asked of from him. He never expected that kind of perfection from me. He knew. There's a scripture in Psalms that says, he knows we are but dust. He knew how I was created. He knew my frailties. He knew my struggles. And I was actually making an idol out of some of the people and I was trying to please, out of some of the behaviors I was trying to emulate. Those things which you would think could be good things, relationships are good, became idols to me because I was trying so hard to please them that I wasn't hearing what the Lord was saying and trying to please him. And and so once I flipped that upside down and realized that most of the things I was hard on myself about, the Lord had not even asked me to do.
And I think we get
so that
very much
was,
caught up in that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredibly freeing. And, you know, it's a process that continues. There was great freedom given in my 30s. You know, to this day, these ugly things will kind of pop up again, and then I'll have to, you know, rethink how I think about life, return to the truths that he's given me and choose to live there, because it's really, you know, a lifelong process of undoing, letting him change us from the inside out. And once he heals us at one level, he lets us walk out that truth for a while. And then in a few years, all of a sudden, he'll take it down deeper. And he'll find another deeper place of that wounding that sort of set us on the wrong path. And he'll heal us at a deeper level. And that's what's so beautiful about him, is he doesn't do it all at once. I don't think we could handle it. He takes us as we mature, and slowly he does it from the inside out. We don't have to go looking for it. We just open ourselves to him, and he takes care of it.
One of the key phrases you used, Paula, was in a few years. And how many times do we want things to happen tomorrow or next week or next month? We want to see those changes rapidly, and we get frustrated, I believe, and we tend to give up in that frustration and say, oh, well, I'm just never going to change. Things aren't ever going to be any better. Things aren't ever going to be any different. And I think we can fall into that because we forget that things happen in God's timing, not in ours, and we're such finite beings. And he's so infinite, and we just can't get it. We have a hard time getting it, I think.
Oh, I can't count the times I've said, Lord, and I don't mean your soon. I mean my soon on this one.
Yeah. And you also mentioned, too, Paula, and I wanted to reiterate this, because do you know Alan Arnold?
Yes.
We had Alan on the show here a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about, of course, you and I are tied together through the writing world, and he talked about people that write and work on projects for such a long time and perfect them, and they never go anywhere. And part of that reason is because God didn't tell them to do that project. That wasn't something that they created with God. They created that on their own. He was really, you did probably enjoy that show. But he talked about how we need to create with God, not for God, but with God. And what you said earlier reminded me of that, sometimes we get off on these tangents and we think we're doing this thing for him. I didn't tell you to do that.
Right.
Well, Paula, I think you've answered this to a degree, but as we do move into a new year with all our aspirations of we're going to do things better, and sometimes we want to break old habits and sometimes we want to establish new ones, what pitfalls do you suggest that we avoid in order to flourish in freedom? And I think we've already talked about some of that.
Well, I have a great example of something that just really hit me between the eyes. I was with my youngest a few years ago as he was at driver's ed. And the last day of driver's education, they asked the parents to come in, and they put us through a class, and then they put us in the car with our kiddo, and they wanted us to let them drive this course. And, of course, they wanted them to go faster and play their music louder than
sure.
we were comfortable with, just to show us what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
But before we went out and got in the car, there was during the little talk that the teacher gave, he said, when we are teaching the kids how to handle the snow and ice in Colorado, we teach them that if they start to slide, they should not turn and look toward where they're sliding. They should put their eyes on where they want to go, and their hands will naturally follow, and they will have a better chance of riding the car and being safe. And at the time, I was in the midst of, you know, a big weight loss journey, and it just hit me between the eyes that that was such a profound thought for weight loss. If I looked toward where I didn't want to go, I thought more about the food. I thought more about the discouragement of being overweight, and I slid back into bad behavior. If I thought about where I was going, kept my eyes forward, I had much more success. And then the Lord began to take that deeper, and he reminded me of when I was a young mother, and as I was wanting to change, I hated yelling at my children. I just hated it. And as I was trying to change, the more I looked at the bad behavior, which in this case was losing my temper, the more the pressure cooker built and the sooner I yelled again or came unglued again, because I was putting so much pressure on myself and I was always looking toward the negative. And during that time period, the Lord gave me the scripture, keep your eyes on Jesus, for he's the author and perfecter of your faith. And so instead of looking at my faults and the ways I kept failing and the things I didn't want to do, I just kept, okay, Jesus, you have forgiven me. You have cleansed me. You say that I'm your child. You say I'm completely accepted. You say that I'm empowered by your spirit. I'm going to keep my eyes on you and what you're doing. And eventually a lot of that, most of that temper and that kind of thing that I struggled with when the kids were little, most of that just fell away. Not saying I never, ever get angry again, because of course I do, but that consistent lifestyle of struggling with anger and emotion like that just fell away as I looked at Christ, because I was no longer in that pressure kettle and I was giving him the opportunity to change us. So I think as we're looking at wanting to change for the new year, if we keep looking to ourselves and the behaviors that we want to change, I think we're more likely to fail. But if we look to Jesus and just keep lifting them up to him and keep looking at the positive of where we're going with him, then he can empower us, you know, to meet the goals. And like you said before, is it even the goal he has for us?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good place to start.
Exactly. While we're on that subject, Paula, how do you feel about goal setting as far as with your writing and all that? Are you a person who says, I will write 1,500 words a day or whatever, or are you not that regimented like me?
I think it depends on the season of my life and the project that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I know when I've had deadlines from publishers, it's been helpful to say I need to have a certain word count to achieve this goal ahead of time and have time to edit and that so forth before I give it to the editor. However, because of my perfectionism, I have to be very careful about being really, really focused on all of the goals, because I can become very driven and I can strive and I can kind of lose the point of life by trying to conquer everything I feel like I'm supposed to conquer. So what I've been trying to learn to do, and I again, everything I talk about, me too, I mess up, I'm never perfect. But what I'm seeking to learn right now in this season of my life is I pray often, Lord, what's your rhythm? What's your rhythm for my day? What's your rhythm for my life? What's your rhythm for my year? This was heavily tested. Last year was the first year all the kids were, I homeschooled all my children. So the youngest was taking classes at the local community college, even though he was still living home. So I finally felt, oh, I'm going to be so productive with my dreams and my writing. I'm just going to soar. And a year later, I'm in tears because, well, 9 months later, because I just feel like I haven't really accomplished much of anything. And the Lord just kept, you know, impacting my heart, saying, I want you to heal. I want you to rest. And when I went out, my husband and I went out to eat, and I said, here's where I feel like the Lord is leading. I feel all this pressure personally to focus more on my career and to be more of a helpmate to my husband in the area of finances and working after all these wonderful years of being allowed to be home with the kids and not feeling the burden to provide. I've wanted to give my husband that gift of being more productive, but I said, honey, I feel like he's asking me to be still. And mm-hmm. my husband said, you've been asking me to pray that you would, you know, accomplish more, but that's not what I've been praying. I've been praying that the Lord would help you not be performance driven and would help you to have grace and peace. And so he gave me total freedom. He's such a good man, gave me total freedom to let go. And I spent many months seriously talking to my flowers. That was kind of a joke in my bio, but I mean, there were times of deep prayer and meditation and some study that I felt led into, but I didn't even pressure myself, you know, to have the daily quiet time. I just tried to live in the rhythms that the Lord was calling me to. And some days I would look back and think, okay, what did I accomplish? I watered my roses, I took a walk, I made dinner, and I really felt like I didn't accomplish anything. And my husband's like, why do you say those things? You know, you're accomplishing the things the Lord are leading you to accomplish. And this fall, I finally kind of felt that release that I could return to writing. And I had this devotional that I was working on when I had tried to work on it almost a year ago, February, March of last year, or of this 2015. There were times that I would just end up sobbing at the computer. I was trying to process some of the hard things the Lord had taken us through. I was trying to write, and it was just like pulling teeth, and it was very painful, and I was grieving, and it was the deep crying. It wasn't casual, you know, like sentimental crying.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
after the season where the Lord healed this fall, I just felt free then to begin to pursue the things I knew the Lord had called me to. And at one point, I just sat down. I had given up on getting out this devotional that actually released. I had given up on it coming out this year. And I just sat down kind of piddling with some of those same files that I had tried to work with 6 months before. And what I discovered was not only did I no longer dissolve into tears and sobs while trying to work on them, I was healed. I was peaceful. You know, there might be a little moisture in my eyes, but it wasn't emotionally painful to work on those mm-hmm. things. And I was able to not only work on those things, but then all of a sudden it dawned on me that a lot of the praying and processing I had done in May that was just between me and the Lord, when I put away my efforts to write and instead focused on, okay, Lord, what do you want to show me? How can you heal me? How can I understand you and where you and I are? And by the way, Lord, I want to talk about some of the stuff you let happen to me because it really hurt, and help me work through this and understand
sure.
it. And what happened is I sat down then in October, November, I realized, oh, there were those devotionals I was trying to write that wouldn't come mm-hmm. because they need to come organically out of what's happening between the Lord and me and not just be forced because
yes.
I wanted to get a devotional out. And then the Lord was very gracious, and the devotion that's releasing, or that just released a couple weeks ago, he sent people to me who said, see if I can say this, Patty, without crying, who said to me, these words are important, and they need to be shared.
Oh, wow.
You know, you need to let me help you do that. And it wasn't one person. There were multiple people who came in, and...
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason that a devotional released a few weeks ago. And I'm intensely grateful for that. And, you know,
oh,
the Lord,
yeah.
this perfectionism thing, he likes to keep teaching me about it. I really feel like we were releasing in his momentum. I was asking him, Lord, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? This is so fast. Because we
yeah, exactly.
released that
Paul,
first devotional book in like 3 weeks. And I was like, Lord, is this really your momentum? And I felt like he was saying, why would you slow down something I have put in motion? But this whole perfectionism thing, when we came to the end, that first free day that we did, you know, there
Paula,
were some...
Paula, would you
sure.
hold that thought for just a minute? I need to take a short break here. And
absolutely.
The reason I do that is, I'm sorry, I should have taken a break 10 minutes ago, and that was my fault. I wasn't watching the time. But the reason I do that is because people come in to Blog Talk Radio in the middle of a show, and they don't know what they're listening to. So I kind of do a little station identification here to let people know that they are listening to Step Into the Light on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest today is Paula Moldenhauer. Paula is an author and speaker, and she has just been wonderful talking to us about freedom in God and about how we can listen to his voice in the new year. And she's sharing some of her personal experiences. So I hope you will stay with us. I want you to be aware that Paula can be found at her website, which is Paula Moldenhauer. And that's a little bit of a long name, so we'll spell that out. It's PaulaMoldenhauer.com. She can also be found on Facebook at Paula Moldenhauer, author, speaker. Her Twitter handle is the same, except she's dropped the R because that whole long name won't fit on Twitter. However, you're not going to remember a thing I just said about that. So if you go to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com, you'll find a Blog Talk Radio tab there. Excuse me. And under that tab, you will find a page entitled Website and Social Media Information, and I will have all of Paula's information there, as well as the information for all of our other guests. There will be direct links to her website, her social media information, as well as to her book that she is talking about now as we speak. Paula recently released the first of four devotionals titled Soul Sense Awaken. And she was just sharing with us the amazing way in which God engineered things so that this book could be released this year. Paula, I'm sorry to have interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, that's absolutely fine. I'm glad that we were enjoying our conversation so much that you missed your station identification. That's awesome.
There you go. I was so into it, I didn't even look at the clock.
Well, what I was going to share is I'm just trying to be transparent with you and with your audience today. Perfectionism and the healing from it's not an overnight thing. So when we released that first Kindle version, really, I don't know. I think the Lord allowed me to make a decision, which was because of the timing, it did not get one last proofread, and it should have had it. So... there are mistakes, and I've had a really hard time reconciling that. And mm-hmm. I feel like the Lord maybe just allowed that to happen in part because he's trying to teach me it's not how perfectly I do things. It's the heart and the message that he has given me that's important. And so, you know, I've already had some readers contact me saying how it's, you know, hitting them right where, excuse me, right
and
where
I'll tell you,
they need.
Paula, yeah, to give you a break for a second, I'll tell you that I downloaded that Kindle version. I don't even have a Kindle. I have a Kindle app on my phone, and I read off of it, like, all the time. And when I became aware that that book was available, I think it was on Facebook, you would put that notice on there, and I downloaded it. And I read, probably the first week. I didn't want to read too much because I want to read it as a devotional, but I wanted to get a flavor for your writing, and oh man, it's just really, really good. I would encourage listeners to take the time to pursue obtaining this devotional, and like I said, you'll find that URL link to the Amazon where you can purchase that book. And I can't say enough about it. I'm just very impressed, Paula, and I'm looking forward to using it myself as a devotional.
Well, one thing I'll share with your listeners is if they're not typically electronic readers, we are just on the cusp of releasing a print version, which we believe will be out before this weekend, so that people who prefer, you know, to hold it in their hand can.
Yeah.
And with that print version, we will also be updating the Kindle with some of those errors that we found
okay.
in the first version. So, but the best secret that I have to share is we're going to, on Saturday, do another free download for electronic readers. I wish I could
Woo-hoo.
Do things like that with print. Of course, that's not fiscally, you know, we can't do that. But
right.
So, you know, let your friends know or enjoy it yourself, because it will be for free download on Saturday. The goal is that we can walk together for a year with devotionals. So January 4th is the first Monday of the year, and the devotionals are set up roughly to be Monday through Friday. And then you have the weekend to do whatever worship or other choices you typically make, or to get caught up if you've had a, you know, a rough week and you
mm-hmm.
have time on the weekend to curl up with it. So the goal, and of course I've had people say that they've just been reading it like a book instead of a daily devotional, and that's fine. Whatever works for anyone. But so Saturday it will be another free download.
Well, wonderful. And I will make, I'll put that on my website as well, Paula, and I'll put it on my Facebook page and so such. So we'll get the word out for you. Well, Paula, it's the nature of our show for our listeners to talk about a dark time that they've had in their life. And I know you've shared a little bit with us, but you mentioned that you're striving to be the perfect Christian and follow the set rules for your life did lead you to a very dark time in your life. Would you share your feelings then and how you found your way out of that dark place?
Absolutely. I think the time that you're referring to from my website is probably, again, when I was the mother of young children and wanted
yes.
so desperately to not mess up with my kids, because there was nothing more important to me than those little babies that I loved so much. And I don't always share this, but I think I will this time. It got to the point that I had such self-hatred that there were a few times I was actually self-abusive. I just hated myself when I hurt my children. And so there was a time, you know, I had a bruise on my chin that I was trying to hide when I went into public, and that was self-inflicted. I think, if I remember correctly, the kids were old enough that I felt they would be safe if I left for, you know, just a few minutes, but I felt like I just had to get away because I was so angry with myself. And I left the house, and I was still in the neighborhood, but I left the house so that the kids wouldn't see me so angry with myself. And I repeatedly hit myself
mm-hmm.
in the face, and to the point that I have bruised my face. And
oh my goodness, Paula, I would never have imagined, knowing you as I did, I would never have imagined that.
Well, I had incredible self-hatred because I had incredible pressure to be something I could never be, because
mm-hmm.
I was consistently failing. And there were lots of different things that helped me heal and move me forward, because God does that. He provides us the opportunities. And one of the first opportunities I had is a friend of mine had gone through a freedom ministry at our church. And I was in a phone conversation with her about a relationship that was very painful to me, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I'm not talking about my husband or my kids or my immediate family, but I remember thinking, you know, I've got to deal with the pain I have around this situation with this person, because there's anger in me I don't know what to do with. And as I'm talking to her on the phone, I felt this Holy Spirit whisper inside that says, you need to do what she did. And right after I felt that, she said to me, have you ever considered going through the freedom ministry I went through? And because of her sharing, I spent some time in, at the time, the way this ministry was run is there would be sort of a weekend session where you just went through different strongholds that the enemy tends to have in your life. One of them is perfectionism. Another fear,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think I lived in fear. I lived in terrible fear all the time, and I didn't even know it. But as I went through that, which also included dealing with issues of forgiveness, for those that had hurt me, including this relationship I didn't know what to do with, the Lord began to just show me how completely free I was. And Romans 8:1 talks about that there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Galatians says, it is for freedom that he has set us free, therefore do not return to a yoke of slavery. And those two verses became the foundation on which the Lord started changing my life. I remember before the freedom session, I had read the Roman scripture about there's no condemnation. And I didn't even really realize that I had lived for years under this sense of condemnation, under the sense of I'm never good enough, I'm always failing, I can never be what I'm supposed to be. And that is the voice of the accuser. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes that we can have abundant life. So that kind of thinking, that self-deprecating, putting myself down, allowing myself to feel constantly like a failure, that was not the voice of God saying, do better. That was the voice of the enemy saying, you'll never be better. So the Lord was saying, there is no condemnation. When I look at you, I see the perfection of my son Jesus. That is, I have clothed you in robes of righteousness. And when I look at you, there is absolutely nothing that separates you from my love and my favor. So after my freedom session, one morning I heard that scripture in my head as I was waking up, and I believe that was the Holy Spirit just, you know, reminding me of it. It is for freedom that I have set you free. And I hopped out of bed and I found my Bible and looked in the concordance. I sat on the floor looking for the rest of that scripture. And it said, therefore, do not return to a yoke of slavery. And I knew the Lord was saying to me, do not return to people pleasing to the point that you live in constant failure because you're making idols of others. Do not return to that kind of thinking that says that, you know, that you're a failure and that you're separated from me, or, you know, that you'll never live up. Live in the truth I'm giving you. Live in a place that says, I am completely accepted. I am unconditionally loved. My only job is to get to know Jesus, and he will change me and make me the person he wants me to be.
I was thinking as I was listening to you, Paula, you and I are both very, very, very fortunate in that, from my understanding of you, you have a very supportive spouse, as do I, and a supportive family. And I'm trying to empathize with people, or even trying to imagine what it's like for people who have those feelings but don't have that support, who have a family that,
you know,
says, you're right, you are a failure, you're right, you're never going to do anything to meet the standards we expect of you, and how difficult that must be as well.
Right, and a couple of things. Part of what I was feeling was coming from other family relationships, not my husband. And that sort of, as a child, did set me up for this kind of thinking and living. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about before. When you're living in those kinds of situations, the shame keeps you silent. The pressures.
Yes.
To look good to the outside world keeps you silent, and you need to not be silent. But, you know, Patty, what's really apparent to me is sometimes when we're in those situations, we don't even understand the situation we're in. It's just our life. And so we keep going, and we keep taking really what I would say is verbal and emotional abuse. We keep taking it. We keep trying to change ourselves. Surely if I change enough, I will be loved. Surely if I change enough, my home will be quiet and peaceful. Surely if I. And we can live for years in the bondage of thinking that we have to fix it all because it's our fault and we're defective. And
yes.
That's, you know, what can happen in relationships that are not healthy. And I'm going to say something that maybe it's definitely countercultural to some of Christianity today, but I'm gonna say two things, and I'm just gonna be brave and say it. Our pastor a while back said something that really hit me strongly. He was talking to the men of the church, and he said, "Men, if you don't learn to love your wife well And I think it could go the other way, women, if you don't learn to love your husband well. But if you don't learn to love your wife and children well, the Lord will only allow it for so long before he gives them to someone else to take care of them the way they should be taken care of.
Oh, wow.
And I had never heard that in Christian circles. You know, we don't like divorce, and I don't like divorce either, but that is such a profound thought that God, maybe he cares about the individual person and their health and the fact that they're being loved than the rule of don't get a divorce, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends woke up to the abuse that she had suffered for many years. And as she started waking up, the voices of, you know, the church saying divorce is a sin, divorce is a sin, were still in her head. And she's trying to reconcile a marriage where she never felt loved from day one, a marriage where she was verbally and emotionally abused, mm-hmm. with this mandate of the church. When she first started waking up, she and I were in a conversation, and I had not yet had conversations with her, which helped me understand her situation, because she didn't even understand it yet, and she was very careful to always be on, you know, being honoring of her family and of her husband and so forth. So we hadn't even had conversations where I was seeing what was going on yet. But I was with her, and I remember being in a different room, and I was walking around, I was praying, I was like, Lord, please save their marriage and heal their marriage, and I just kept praying for their marriage. And the Holy Spirit stopped me, and he said, I care more about her heart than her mm-hmm. marriage. And it changed how I prayed, and I started praying that God would heal her heart instead of praying that God would heal her marriage. And that was sort of a paradigm shift for me, because I think as Christians, in our desire to have those perfect, holy lives, sometimes we do what the Pharisees did. We make it an outside shell of perfectionism, but the inside is rotting, and we're not dealing with the inside because we're too busy following the rule, and we miss that the Lord really loves the individual and wants to heal them.
Boy, that is some wonderful insight, Paula, and thank you for sharing that with us. And this is the part of the show that I dislike the most, because it's when I have to tell my guests that we're almost out of time. I love the show, but this is the part that I always feel, man, can't we go for another hour? Paula, with about 6 minutes left, you have mentioned on your website several times breathing in the fragrance of God's love and freedom. How does that experience manifest itself for you in about, like I said, 6 minutes or less? Sorry.
Well, I think part of it is what I mentioned earlier about it is for freedom that he set us free. Where is my mind? Where are my thoughts? And early in my journey, I asked God to give me specific scriptures that spoke the truth I needed to hear, and I put them all over the house, and I memorized them, and every time that overwhelming sense of ugliness, of failure, of not good enough would come upon me, of condemned, I would whisper that scripture, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, or scriptures about his love, or me being his child. So that's part, I think, of breathing in his fragrance. His fragrance is grace. His fragrance is love. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the fruits, I mean, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those are
yes.
an expression of God's personality. And if we can really look at life as things come at us and say, is this the Lord? Does this reflect his personality, or is this religion, or is this abuse? Then we can start to breathe in the good and turn from the things that are destructive to us. I think breathing in his fragrance can be as simple as smelling a rose and knowing that he created that rose to smell lovely because he loved us and he wanted to bless us. It can be deep hours alone with him, with a Bible and a journal. It can be taking a walk through the neighborhood and noticing the blue sky. It's just a lifestyle of discovering him, of taking deep breaths of all that is good and lovely and true, and learning to turn away from that which is not.
And I'm thinking too, Paula, even within the framework of our relationships, you walk into someone else's home if you're going to dinner and you smell those delicious smells and you know that they've prepared that food for you, and that that God honors and loves community among his people. Or you walk into in our church we do dinners throughout the different periods of the year, and you know, you walk into that fellowship hall and you smell those delightful smells and you're with your church family, and I think that's all a part of it. And I want to thank you for I love that phrase. It just, that fragrance of God, it just caught my attention when I was reading through your website.
You know, Jesus says that he's the bread of life. And
yes,
one of my favorite smells, we make a lot of homemade bread in our house. One of
my
favorite smells
so did
is
my mom
the fragrance.
When I was a kid.
The fragrance of homemade bread. He says he's the bread of life. And when we take a steaming hot bread, when the boys were home, we take that out and we put it on the table. It was gone almost immediately because it became community. We ate of it. We enjoyed the fellowship. And I think of that a lot with Jesus, that he's the fragrance of the nourishment of life itself.
That's very true. Paula, we're down to 3 minutes. I so much wanted to talk to you about your writing and especially about your book on the Titanic, because the Titanic was just one of the most fascinating events in history for me when I was a kid. I think I read Walter Lord's Night to Remember 25 times when I was in high school.
Oh, my goodness.
We had the little cards, you know, that you signed out your books from the library back in the day before computers. And I think my name was like on that little card constantly. So I wanted
That's
to talk
wonderful.
To you about that, but there just isn't time. But I did want to make our listeners aware that Paula does have a novel out there entitled, I can't recall the title of it, I'm sorry, Paula, Titanic book.
Yeah, Titanic Legacy of Betrayal.
Yes, yes. And she also has another one, a Christmas Story. Your Charmer, Mr. Grinch.
Your Charmer, Mr. Grinch is my novella in the Christmas collection. They're little short inspirational romances called Postmark Christmas.
Postmark Christmas. And is there really a Christmas Florida?
There really is a Christmas Florida. It's kind of like our Loveland here in Colorado, where, you know, people want to have their Valentine's Day card stamped Loveland. People want to have the Christmas card stamped Christmas Florida.
Oh, no.
So.
Well, Paula, it's been an absolute delight talking with you. I want to thank you so much for appearing on the show. I want to remind our listeners again to go to Paula's website, which is paulamoldenhauer.com, and to, what's the word for Twitter, not friend, follow. Follow her on Twitter and friend her on her, like her author page on Facebook. And once again, you will find all of the links to that social media for Paula on my website, which is pattysheene.com, pattishene.com. Go to the Blog Talk Radio tab, and underneath that you'll find the website social media page. And with all that information, Paula, I'm going to say goodbye to you. God bless you. Thank you ever so much for such a wonderful show.
I've enjoyed very much sharing with you and with your audience, and I thank you for having me.
All righty. I will be in touch. Have a happy and a blessed new year.
You too, my friend.
Okay, goodbye. Hey, next week we have a lady by the name of Catherine Roth. Catherine is a writer and speaker and storyteller who recently stepped into the world of independent publishing as an author-owner of Pageant Wagon Publishing. Catherine is a delightful lady, as are all of my guests have been delightful people to talk to. So I hope you'll join us next week. In closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Want to wish all of our listeners a happy and blessed new year. Hope that you come back and join us again next year. Actually, it will be January 5th at 8 o'clock in the morning for our show. If you missed any part of this show or there's other shows you'd like to see, be sure to go to our archive page, where you can find a link to all the shows. shows aired. Goodbye, and God bless you.